two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, hey, hey.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Anton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. And good morning, Ton. I've missed you the last couple of weeks.
You are back. It's great to have you.
It's good to be back. Son's wedding was a success, and I'm glad to be back on the show.
It looks so fun. I saw the pictures you posted on not just the wedding, but the dancing and everything else, getting practicing for it. I hope you had a good time. It must have been exhausting.
It was. I will say that I'm not fully recovered. It was a week ago, and I'm feeling still a little bit wary. We had a house full of family, but it was just such a wonderful time. And so thank you. Thanks to Ethan for filling in for me for the last couple of weeks. So I appreciate it. And this morning, we've got very warm temperatures, we've got smoky skies, and our plant of the week this morning is Juniper's Beard.
Jupiter's Beard.
Jupiter's
I think we
beard.
Had a autocorrect
a little
typo.
Okay, no wonder when I tried to pull that up, it didn't bring anything up for me. A little bit.
I emailed some links last night. It was a little bit later on Jupiter's Beard, but it's a perennial that can honestly get aggressive if it's overwatered, but it's very drought hardy. And I've been trying to feature things that don't look like the West Desert, but need less water and have pretty good flower production for a longer period of time, or somehow are beneficial in our landscapes through adding beauty.
Right. I'm looking at them now, and they are very pretty. Beautiful pink flowers. More than just pink, or is it just pink?
There's pink, red, and white are the three colors you can find. They bloom. They've actually been blooming a couple of weeks, and they have about a 6 to 8 week bloom period. And if you deadhead them, they will send up a second flush that isn't quite as robust, but it's still quite pretty. And so these will grow anywhere from a south to an east exposure, so they just require about 6 inches of sunlight a day. And I know that it's not necessarily hate, but we're going to get people calling, what are you doing? This is going to go everywhere. That's because it's getting sprinkler water from your lawn. And it really doesn't need that. And if it does, it will get it out of hand sometimes. But where it's grown in a water-wise garden, once established, watered every couple of weeks, it's a wonderful perennial.
This looks like something my mother used to call May. Is it the same plant?
I'm not sure. It has several different names besides Jupiter's Beard. I think, I was trying to think of the other. Centranthus is one. And then, let's see.
Well, I think this is what she would call May.
Yeah, it very well could be. I've heard people call this several different things, but I think the point here is that you grow it, you don't want it to get out of hand, so it does need to be put in a location that once established you can control the watering, but it's one that I would recommend still knowing that, but knowing to put it in the right situation.
Right, and this is one that could get out of hand, but doesn't it basically reseed?
It can. It seeds very easily. And so that's the other thing you need to watch for. And so in the spring, if you have it growing where you want it, you can either dig up the seedlings or just rogue them out with a gardening hoe and just control them that way. And so you do need to keep an eye on it. And I recommend this one with all of the caveats saying, don't water it with lawn sprinklers. Keep an eye on it so that it doesn't take over your flower bed. But if you do keep an eye on it and water it properly, it's just a great perennial.
Yeah, one that is longer lasting when it comes to blooms.
Yes. So another one that this is actually called is Red Valerian. That it's sold under, but locally I see it usually called the either Centranthus or Jupiter's Beard.
All right. Well, and that is the plant of the week, and you have been trying to pick more drought-hardy plants because we are in the middle of a mega drought.
We are, and one of the worst we've seen. Last week we covered a tree called Golden Rain Tree that's just starting to bloom. Another one that it may reseed a little bit from the seed pods, but beautiful flowers, but it tolerates our soil. I've never seen it have to have a herbicide application or a pesticide application. So just, I've been trying to pick things that are low maintenance, drought hardy, and pretty.
Right. I'm seeing some problems in our neighborhood with oak, with the kind of brush oak, and it kind of seems to be dying off.
There are several things. The oak's native, and it's evolved with multiple native pests that generally the trees will look bad for a couple of years, and then they spring back as predators take it out, and there's this weird balance of things, but there could be, we haven't hit that point yet that the oak would start to decline because of drought stress.
Really? Because I'm seeing brown leaves.
Are you?
Yeah, scary.
I would be curious to see if there were any insect pests causing it, leaf miners or a fungal disease or something, but in the Payson area, I haven't seen anything yet on the hillsides down in southern Utah County, but I also haven't been everywhere.
Right.
And so I'm hoping that it's something localized if it is drought. I haven't been seeing it Wasatch Front wide, but it is a scary time.
Right. Well, and it's interesting. I thought it was just my brush oak because I have a pretty large bunch of oak, but a couple of neighbors across the street are seeing the same thing, so I thought I'd ask you about that. And I'm just like, are these going to come back? But I'll look for pests today.
Yeah, look for pests. Maybe shoot some pictures over, and I could take a look and see if we can figure out what's going on with it.
All right. We do have a couple of callers already waiting on the lines. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500 and much more, and your calls coming up on The Greenhouse Show.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Anton with you this morning, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Phil is on the line in Lehigh. Good morning, Phil. What's your question?
Well, I have two questions. First, I'd like to say I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
it's very informative. My raspberries were doing great, but just the last week I've noticed some brown leaves on some of the taller canes. I looked, I couldn't see any insects or anything. I just wondered if it's just heat stress or something else could be going on that I'm missing.
Something else is probably going on. I mean, it could be heat, but one thing that, did you try cutting the canes on the tips to see if you have the middle of the cane hollowed out by a borer? You just kind of see frass in there?
No, I have not, but I will.
That's one thing I would look at. I've actually had a couple calls over the last few days. I'm wondering if we either have a rose-stem girdler or horntail wasp in there. Usually you see the tips flag over. But that's one thing to check for on three or four canes. And the other thing you want to look for is called crown borer. And you'd go down toward the middle of the cane and look for a swelling or a bulge. And then just kind of follow that down. Now, is this on new growth or last year's?
It's new growth. I cut them down this spring.
Okay. So that most likely would eliminate crown borer, but cut into some of those canes and see if you find a cane borer in there. There's two of them that get in more closer to the tips.
And if I find them, what do I do?
Just prune it out where you see it, and you need to clip every 3 or 4 inches until you find that the inside of the cane is a nice white color with just a light green surrounding, maybe just a creamy color in there. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that it is, and this very well could be heat stress, but it would be worth checking 3 or 4 of them to make sure.
Well, that won't take long. Another question I have is we found a little worm eating some of our flowers. Looking on the internet, it looked like it was a bud worm.
Yeah, tobacco bud worm. That's pretty astute.
And anyway, I got some stuff from the garden center and sprayed on it, but I'm just wondering, is there anything else I could do?
That's about it. Did they give you Thuricide or a BT product of some sort?
Well, it's something Sinsad or something like that in there.
Spinosad. That would probably work too. I generally, Thuricide will work, but give that a shot. It's going to take, because they also get into the flower buds, it's going to take a couple of weeks to know because the flowers will need to form new buds, and you'll need to let them open up and see if they look healthy.
Okay, so should I give it two treatments? I tried to cover the leaves and the buds and everything fairly well with the spray. I just wonder if I need to give it two treatments or just
I
let
would,
it go.
I mean, follow the label on the, I don't have the label in front of me, but you'll need to follow the label on the spacing on days between treatments, but you're probably going to need to use 2 or 3 because tobacco budworm doesn't have a set life cycle where they're all adults and then they lay eggs and they're all larvae. It's just really sporadic through the season, so you're probably going to need multiple applications.
And what was the name of those two insecticide you mentioned?
Well, you try the one you've got because it's pretty much organic, but it does a pretty good job. If it doesn't, the other one that I've used is called Thuricide. It's also organic or very reduced risk, and it's spelled Thuricide. Thuricide.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that on the website when I was looking this up.
Yeah, and that's a particular product. It's both of these that you have are derived from bacteria, and the Thuricide, the active ingredient, is called BT, and it's a gut poison in insects that's not really too toxic in pets or humans or anything like that.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right,
thank you.
Thanks,
I mentioned before, I really enjoy your show. Have a good day.
You too. Appreciate your listening. Next listener, Ton, is being really tormented by earwigs. Keeps planting their cucumbers, but the minute the leaves come up, the earwigs devour them, and they want to know what they can do about those darn things.
Well, we're already getting lots of reports of earwigs. It's early, but the heat, I think, has spurred a lot of things. I saw Rose of Sharon in bloom yesterday, Maria, a month early. But, and so things are just ahead of schedule because of the heat. And so I would look up USU's fact sheet on just earwigs. And there's a lot of non-chemical control options using trapping. And it may not work if their numbers are too high. And there are also some pesticide options in there. But if you will download Utah State University's fact sheet, it'll explain how to use old, like, butter dishes, like the our grandparents used for Tupperware, mm-hmm. To make traps to they fall into, how to use cardboard and newspapers and a number of things, but they may need to resort to something like spinosad or carbaryl or permethrin to really knock them back if they have too many.
All right. And the number to call, 801-575-8255. Let's go to Todd in Spanish Fork. And Todd, how can we help you today?
Yeah, a couple of questions. Remind me what the best product for bindweed in the lawn is.
Well, it's going to, anything that contains quinclorac is pretty much too hot for almost all lawnweed killers. So you want to wait for fall. But Q4 Plus is one. Weed Be Gone plus Crabgrass Control is another. You may want to buy that now and save it. There is one made by a company called Image that I believe is just Image Lawnweed Killer. That's available at Steve Regan and IFA. And that one, I don't think has as restrictive as temperature, you know, the temperature restrictions on it, but I'm still a little bit cautious. I've not used it. And so you'll want to, if you did, you'd want to read the label thoroughly, but there are many of them out there. But what you're looking for is the active ingredient quinclorac. That's quinclorac.
Thank you. One other thing, like when I pull, when I'm thinning my Love in the Mist or calendula, I'm pulling it up before the seeds have gone, you know, before they're completely mature, and I want to just compost it, but I don't want. I mean, when are seeds viable on that kind of thing?
Well, after the seed heads have formed and they've dried down, they're going viable. So
they have to dry down.
They do have to dry down usually. Now, if you pick them and say the seed head is mature but not dry, and you just let it dry, then it still could be viable. And so if you're worried about it, what I would do is just nip the seed heads off and throw them away and compost the rest of the plant.
Oh, yeah, duh.
Or, I mean, calendula, people like the, another name for it. It's marsh marigold. It's sometimes eaten as a pot herb. And so people, if you wanted to go to the effort, you know, there are several sites on Facebook or Facebook pages that if you had those, that people would probably take them off your hands.
That's an interesting thought. Yeah, I know that was used for something, but I couldn't remember what. So if I pull, because my compost isn't a hot compost. It's just, you know, you just chuck it on a pile.
Yeah, it's not going to get hot enough to kill those seeds. And so that's just a technique I use with weeds also. I actually don't mind using my weeds as mulch. I'll just chop them up with my mower, but I make sure that there's no seed heads on them. And I'll either cut them off, or at that point I just send them to green waste to where they kind of have a little bit better control than I do. But if you don't want them in there and you're not hot composting, just either collect them and throw them away or collect them and give them away.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Don.
All right.
You're welcome.
Tom, thanks for your call this morning. Thank you. Next listener wants to know, Tom, if you have any recommendations for shrubs that are drought hardy and get 2 to 3 feet tall.
There are many out there. 2 to 3 feet is a bit small for shrubs, but there are some. One that they could look at is called low dense privet. And it's just L-O-D-E-N-S-E. That one's going to get 4, but you can keep it trimmed down to 3 fairly easily. Some of the barberries, like Crimson Pygmy, there are several other similar cultivars that get 2 to maybe 3 feet tall. Once those are established, they're relatively drought hardy. Almost any shrub, besides maybe willows, are going to at least be moderately drought hardy, and once established, only require watering about every 10 days to 2 weeks.
They also wondered if you had any thoughts about Copertina or ninebark.
The ninebark, Copertina is a type of ninebark. There are some newer ninebarks coming out that don't have as many powdery mildew problems. The ninebarks are wonderful shrubs. They're drought hardy, But if you have them in an area that lacks air circulation, they're like some of the honeysuckle cultivars that are just horribly susceptible to powdery mildew. Mm. And so you need to be careful with those, or talk to your garden center to see if it's a newer variety that has some resistance to powdery mildew built into the plants.
All right. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Today's lawn care tip, sponsored by Biograss.
Hi, I'm Clark Bell of Biograss Sod Farms with your weekly lawn and gardening tip. Our state is in serious drought conditions, and we all need to conserve water. You can conserve water and have a beautiful garden and lawn by using mulch, black garden soil, and sods specifically designed by Biograss for Utah. My family and Biograss has spent years researching and developing grasses and products which require less fertilizer and much less water. We call it the science of great sod, and we save homeowners millions of gallons of water each year. Visit us to see our entire line of eco-friendly lawn and garden products specifically developed for Utah. And you can win a free big yellow bag by entering your garden in our weekly contest. Go to Biograss on Google, click photos, and then click to add your photo. We want to see the great work you're doing and see how your garden looks while we all conserve. So visit Biograss on Google, click on photos, and then click to add your photo. We'll pick a new winner each week. I'm Clark Bell. Thanks for conserving, Utah.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.